ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंतां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः अखण्डं सच्चिदानन्दम् अवाङ् मनसगोचरम् आत्मानम् अखिलाधारम् आश्रये भीष्टसिद्धये The author of this text, Vedanta Saraha, begins his teaching with the benediction. Then he starts with Anubandha Chatushtayam, a set of fourfold factors involved in a textbook as Adhikari, Vishayaha, Sambandaha and Phalam or Prayojanam. Adhikari is the qualified student. Thereafter, he defines who is a qualified student. He presents the definition of a qualified student as presented in Tattvabodha as the one who is endowed with fourfold qualifications. Adhikari, the eligible candidate, eligible student of Vedanta Shastram, is the one who is endowed with fourfold qualifications. As Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. Not only he defines the Adhikari as the one who is endowed with the fourfold qualifications, he also presents how one becomes a qualified student, how one can become a sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. So he states, for the one who become one to become qualified, eligible student, he must have performed karma. He must have performed karmas. So then he talks about the different types of karma. So to become qualified, in terms of mental, to become qualified in terms of the mentally purified and mentally steady person, one must perform karma. And he discusses the different types of karma, which we saw in the last class. It's a deviation, little slight deviation here, which means instead of talking about the qualifications, he mentions how one can become a qualified person. And to become a qualified person, one has to perform karma. And what all karmas are there, he talks about the different types of karma, which we saw last class. Which means we are still discussing the Adhikari. We should not forget that. we have not yet gone to the Vishaya. We are still discussing the Adhikari. And in between, we are discussing the different types of karma, which we saw last class. This Adhikari is the one who must have performed Nitya karmas, the compulsory duties, and Naimittikam karmas, the karmas to be performed for some purpose, Naimittikam karmas, and also Prayaschitta karmas, the karmas performed for eliminating the unknowingly done ill effects of unknowingly done papa karmas. And he also mentioned about kamya karma and nishiddha karma. So nishiddha karmas means it is not performing something, the prohibited actions. So we saw very clearly last class, What are all the Nitya Karmas? What are all Naimittika Karmas? We understood what is meant by Prayaschitta Karma. Then we also understood what is Nishiddham Karma. We also understood what is Kamya Karma. So he starts with Kamya Karmas, Nishiddha Karmas. Kamya Karmas means actions performed for fulfilling one's desires. For specific desires. So kamya karmas and nishiddha karmas, the prohibited actions, which are actions which are in against the dharma. Then we also understood naimittikam nityam karma, naimittikam karma, and prayaschittam karma. Of all these five types of karma, all the five types of karma, I have to remember again: kamyam karma, nishiddham karma, nityam karma, naimittikam karma, prayaschittam karma. Of all these five types of karma, for the one to become qualified, he is supposed to avoid nishiddham karma and kamya karma, and he must have performed definitely other three karmas: nityam, naimittikam, prayaschitta karmas he must perform. And these Nitya Karma, Naimittikam Karma, Prayaschitta Karma, etc., he understands through his exposure to the study of the Shastram. And then last one, he said one more thing. Apart from performing these Nitya, Naimittika, Prayaschitta Karmas, avoiding Kamya, Nishiddha Karmas, he also must be practicing upasanam. So he says, kamya nishiddha karma varjana purasara nitya naimittika prayaschitta upasana anushtanena. He becomes qualified for study of the scriptures, qualified for knowledge. So we had to go to the topic of upasanam today. See, upasanani. So we have taken the topic of meditation today. For the person to become eligible for knowledge, one of the disciplines to be followed is, along with the performance of karma, he also must be practicing meditation. He must have practiced meditation. He must be practicing meditation. So, upasanam is a term for dhyanam. Dhyanam is a word which all of you have heard, meditation. Upasanam is also another term for meditation. And then, upasanam is a meditative technique. Now, upasanani, he says, there are many meditative techniques. know, to become single-pointed, to become focused, to have the focused attention. The teacher is going to discuss the benefits which we can reap from these karmas and upasanam later on. But now he will only discuss the upasanam. What does the word upasanam mean? Upasanam, asanam means a seat. Upa means near. So upasanam means being seated near or placing the attention of the mind near. Placing near or being seated near means being seated near what? No, placing near what? And placing what? So here, placing the attention of the mind on a given object. Being seated near a given object. Being seated near or implies not physically being seated near. Placing the attention of the mind on a given object is being mentally seated near the object. It's called upa-asanam, upasanam, which means attention of the mind has to be taken from every other object, everything else, and it must be totally placed, focused on a given, one given object. So that's why focusing the attention of the mind on a given object, drawing it from everywhere, for a length of time, pay attention on a given object for a length of time is called meditation upasanam. Here the author defines it very beautifully. If you focus your attention on any given object, placing the attention on any given object is meditation, means we are always meditative. Why? Always our attention is placed on a given object. We can simply say that we are all always meditative. Therefore, he makes it very clear. Upasanam means, let us see the definition now. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Is the definition of upasanam. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha Upasanam. There are many meditative techniques, therefore there's upasanani, it is given in plural form. If you ask what is meditation, what is upasanam, you have to say in one sentence, Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. So vyaparaha is activity. Manasa vyaparaha means mental activity. So in all our activities, in physical activity, definitely mind is involved. Is it true? When you are driving, physically you are driving, but your mind is in that act of driving. So any physical activity is backed by your attention. Supposed to. When you're eating, mind must be backing the act of eating. Which means, in every action you're, any physical action you're doing, your mind must be behind that action, which means the mind is very much involved in that action. Only then you can say you are doing that action attentively. So any attentively done physical activity is also as good as meditation. Know why? That given particular action, physically you are involved in doing something, And attention is totally in that act of physical activity, means that activity is also attentively performed physical action also is as good as meditation. And when you're attentively performing an action, focus attention in that action you're doing, now you're able to do it perfectly also, as perfectly as possible. And it becomes efficiently performed also. When the attentively performed action is as perfectly performed as possible, therefore as perfectly, you know, as possible, when the action is performed, it is efficiently performed action also. So perfectly performed is efficiently performed. Efficiently performed is more contributive, useful, more productive action. Similarly, in oral activity also, your mind is involved. So, attention of the mind is involved in physical oral activities. If you attend to attentively saying something, consciously saying something, which means then your oral activity is also as good as meditation, because you are placing attention in that act of speaking. But when the mental activity comes, the body or speech are not involved. It is purely a mental activity. Therefore, meditation is a purely a mental activity, manasa vyaparaha. But here, what is the object of that manasa vyapara? Which is focusing the attention is the manasa vyapara. But what are you focus attention on? That makes the mental activity a meditation. According to the scripture, what is manasa vyaparaha? Not simply focusing attention on any one given object for a length of time. You focus attention on a given object which is a sagunam brahma, which represents sagunam brahma Ishvaraha, the Lord. If the object of meditation symbolizes or represents the Lord, the whole, then it is meditation. We simply focus attention on any given object, it can help you improve your concentration. It is only concentration, it is not meditation. Therefore, in meditation, concentration is there. But in concentration, there is no meditation. And so we understand the difference between concentration and meditation. Meditation, in meditation, there is concentration because attention is focused on a given object. But that given object, which you focus attention on, is not any other object, but an object which is Sagunam Brahma, which represents, which stands for Ishvara Bhagavan, the symbol for Bhagavan. Therefore, Saguna Brahma Vishaya. Vishayaha means an object of meditation. An object is called Vishayaha. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha is equal to a mental activity for which the object is Sagunam Brahma, the Lord. Is it clear? And in this context, I want to tell you one more thing. Why do we say Sagunam Brahma? Why we do not say just Brahma or Nirgunam Brahma? If the object of meditation is Nirgunam Brahma means what? we say the absolute reality without any attributes, reality as reality is an object of meditation, then that reality actually is happens to be the very truth of the very meditator. That is, it's not an object, it is the very subject. So meditation upon one's own swarupam, reality as one's own swarupam, is called contemplation, which is also meditation. Why? Contemplation is a mental activity, manasa vyaparaha. Contemplation is manasa vyaparaha. Meditation is manasa vyaparaha. Concentration is manasa vyaparaha. All the three are mental activities. But what is the difference? In concentration, the object can be anything. You can just simply light a candle, I see the flame. Or focus attention only on the flame. Close your eyes, or simply without a candle also, you can visualize a candle flame or a diya flame, and you can focus attention on. Or a bunch of flowers, or a tree, or a some beautiful noise of some birds, or a cluster of clouds. Anything, any one thing you can take, and you can focus attention on that one thing. Any form, any one form. Definitely, if you practice that, it will help you improve your concentration. But we do not call that a meditation. Suppose that object of the mental activity and the object of that act of meditation, object of meditation is something which represents the Lord, the whole. Again, you can never meditate upon the Lord, the whole. Understand, very important thing. Meditating upon the Lord, see, the focus, the attention of the mind on Bhagavan, the Lord, the Ishvara, is meditation. If I say, you will ask me how to meditate on the Lord. You know why? We have not yet understood what Lord is. We do not know what the Lord is. But now we have some understanding. Lord is the whole. All that is here is the Lord, which is a fact, but we have yet to understand this fact. If we already understood this fact very clearly, isn't it? Then you will be always in meditation. You don't need to practice meditation. But here the thing is, you have yet to understand the fact of Bhagavan being the whole. But you accept it as a fact, then you meditate upon the Lord, means, because you can never meditate upon the whole, because the whole includes the meditator and the meditated. It is not possible for the mind, which is part of the whole, to visualize the whole. Visualization of the whole is not possible. You can't visualize the whole. Even the whole Beckenham we cannot visualize first totally. That is why in meditation, please remember, we always take a one given form. It can be form of your choice. It can be any form like the murtis, or it can be even sound, or it can be mantra. It can be nama, Bhagavan nama. So whether it's a name or a mantra or a full sentence or one name of the Lord or one mantra or a given form also, but that must be a symbol which stands for the whole. Understand? Therefore, when you are focusing your attention on one mantra or one word, and you are not mechanically doing it. For you, you know, this stands for the Lord, the whole. Only then it is a Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. I am sure I have made it very clear. So, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is not meditation, it is not Upasanam, that is Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam is a Sanskrit word for contemplation. Upasanam is a word, Upasanam is for meditation. What is the difference? Both are mental activities. Contemplation and meditation, Nididhyasanam and Upasanam, both are mental activities. The only difference is, here in meditation, the object is Sagunam Brahma. In Nididhyasanam, the object of meditation is Nirgunam Brahma. In meditation, the object happens to be a symbol of which represents the Lord, the whole, Sagunam Brahma. There is meditator, meditated, difference is there. I am the meditator. I meditate upon a given form or a given mantra which stands for Bhagavan, the whole. And there is a difference between meditator, meditated. I am different from the mantra I meditate upon. I focus my attention on the name. Suppose many of you must be practicing Ramanama. Suppose, you know, the word, the name of the Lord I focus on is different from me, the meditator. There is a difference between meditator and the meditated. Suppose I visualize, you know, some form of the Lord as Rama, as Krishna. Then again, what, the form is different from, the object of meditation is different from me, the meditator. There is difference. Whereas, in Nididhyasanam, in contemplation, the object of meditation happens to be Nirgunam Brahma, the attributeless reality, abstract reality. And that reality happens to be the very truth, swarupam of the very meditator, which you have to understand anyway in the class. There is no meditator, meditated difference. In contemplation, meditator, meditated difference is not there. So, any mental activity is meditation, we can say. So, contemplation is meditation because it's a mental activity. But any meditation is not contemplation because the object of meditation is not your own swarupam, Nirgunam Brahma. This is very important for you to understand. So, when are you supposed to do Nididhyasanam contemplation? Only after having done Shravanam and Mananam, which means only after having some clear, doubt-free knowledge of the truth, the reality, as yourself, not as an object. Only having recognized, having understood the nature of reality as one's own self very clearly, then only you are eligible, you can focus attention on your own swarupam. Without having understood what is your swarupam, without having understood what the reality is, how can you meditate upon reality? Therefore, the Nididhyasanam presupposes the clear, doubt-free understanding of the nature of reality, what the reality is. Therefore, that has to be done later on. But now here, the author prescribes, says, Upasanam is a discipline. It's a meditation. And which is for mental steadiness. And then we are going to see that. The benefit of meditation we are going to see. So there's a difference in the benefit. The benefit of meditation is different from the benefit of nididhyasanam, contemplation. Is it clear? So the benefit of contemplation is different from the benefit of meditation. And that's why here, in order to prepare one's mind for knowledge, meditation is prescribed. So contemplation is for the one who has understood the truth. Meditation is for the one who has yet to understand the truth. Is it clear? Is the last is the clear sentence. Meditation is for the one who has yet to understand the truth. Contemplation is for the one who has understood the truth. One understood the truth, but one who has yet to ascertain what he has understood. Is it clear? Okay, with this, let us read, let us go ahead now. Therefore, he says, Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Sagunam Brahma means what? The Lord. The reality with attributes. Isn't it? We can say Ishwaraha, the Lord. Can you meditate upon the Lord? We cannot meditate upon the Lord. Why? Lord is the whole. How can the mind, tiny little mind, is part of the whole, visualize the whole? Impossible. That is why meditation is always on an object which symbolizes, represents the Lord, the whole. Therefore, Saguna Brahma Eva Vishayaha. Bhagavan must be the object of meditation, object of your focus. Only then that mental activity is Upasanam. It is Rupani. So, Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyapara Rupani. Shandilya Vidyadini. So he gives the example. See, in Upanishads, when you read, you have to be very careful. The word Vidya is used in two senses. The word Vidya, the main meaning of the word Vidya is knowledge. In some contexts, the word Vidya also means meditation. Okay, therefore, his Shandilya Vidya means a particular meditative technique. It's called Shandilya Vidya. Like that, if we take Taittiriya Upanishad or Chandogya Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in every Upanishad, so many meditative techniques are prescribed. Which means what? That they define, you know, Pancha Brahma Upasanam. Vyakriti Upasanam. Like that, we have many Upasanams prescribed. We have already finished Taittiriyam in another class. You must be knowing. Some of you who Upanishads class students, they must be knowing. So, the many Upasanams prescribed in the Upanishads. The many Upasanani are there. Technique means it's not something, somehow to sit and all that. There are many meditations are prescribed. That I can't say the techniques. The many meditations are prescribed in different Upanishads. And in which, in every Upasanam meditation, the object of meditation is Sagunam Brahma. Which, something which stands for Ishvara, Bhagavan. So I'm not really giving, because we are going to see later on. Now you understood what meditation is, isn't it? So now for you, the simple thing is, you can have any mantra, and you can say, which is a japaha, If you orally do it, it's a vachikam karma. If you do it mentally, it becomes a manasam karma. So, no, the manasa japaha, the mentally repeating a mantra and focusing, draw the attention from everywhere and focus attention on the given mantra, that becomes what? Manasa japaha is as good as meditation. It is meditation. Is it clear? Okay. So, upasanam. Now he says, for a person to become qualified, eligible for the knowledge or pursuit of knowledge, then to attain knowledge, definitely one has to practice meditation also as a prerequisite discipline, along with performance of compulsory duties and naimittikam and prayaschitta karmas. Okay, now again this author goes a little deviates from here. Started with the fourfold factors involved in the text. He took the first factor called adhikari. Then he talks about the qualification of the adhikari. Now he defined who is the adhikari. Then he mentioned the karmas. Now he is going to go to the next topic of, he's going to talk about the benefits of performing karma, the prayojanam of performing karma. So what is the purpose, what is the benefit of performing these karmas? Which means we need not talk about the benefit of prohibited actions. Why? Prohibited action, the very word prohibited says what? We do not perform prohibited act. So avoidance of prohibited actions itself is what? Will not produce papam. Okay, therefore you do not do it. So we don't need to talk about the prohibited actions. Similarly, we do not talk about the kamya karmas also, because they are avoided. And what karmas do we perform then? Nitya karma and naimittikam karma. So here he is going to talk about how we benefit by performing nitya naimittika karmas. Even the prayaschitta karmas also we need not talk about here. He doesn't need to talk. Why? Because prayaschitta karmas are karmas performed mainly for neutralizing, nullifying the ill effects of inevitably unknowingly done papa karmas. For here, we really, so what is the what do we get by performing nitya karma and naimittika karma? Let us see here. Yetesham nityadinam buddhi-shuddhihi param-prayojanam. Okay. Always, the karmas, the actions we perform produce two types of phalams, two types of fruits, results. So, param prayojanam means main benefit, main result, main fruit. Our primary benefit is called param prayojanam. And the karmas also produce avantara prayojanam or avantara phalam. Avantara phalam, avantara prayojanam means secondary, incidental benefit or something like byproduct. Avantara phala means incidental fruit or benefit, and param prayojana means what? Is a main primary benefit. The two benefits are there. Two fruits are produced by any karma. So here he says, Nityadinam. Nityadina means if we perform nityam karma, the compulsory duties regularly, properly, then if we also perform naimittikam karma, the karmas which are to be performed occasionally for a given, for given purpose, when you perform properly, then what is the param prayojanam? What is the main primary benefit you have? He says, shuddhihi. What shuddhihi means? Purity. Shuddhihi is a ikaranta strilinga shabdaha. It's a feminine gender word, shuddhihi. Buddhi shuddhihi means antahkarana shuddhihi. Chitta shuddhihi. Chitta shuddhihi, antahkarana shuddhihi, sattva shuddhihi, buddhi shuddhihi means what? Mental purity. Mental purification. If you perform, that's all. Don't take it. My God. Buddhi shuddhihi means what? We have to see. Chitta shuddhihi, buddhi shuddhihi, antahkarana shuddhihi, sattva shuddhihi, mental purity means what? Mind becoming relatively free from impurities in the form of raga dveshas, likes and dislikes. We have strong likes and strong dislikes, passions and aversions, and which will result in anger, jealousy, hatred, fear, etc. So it all be all the time sitting in our mind, it be really disturbing the mental easiness, mental, calmness. The disturbed minded is the one who is disturbed by what? People from outside do not come and disturb you. Your mental, they say we have peace. No, is disturbed by the jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, passion, aversion. No, all disturb you. You are not creating them, so you cannot undo them. Not that you want to have them, but still they are there. Why they are there? They are there. So relatively, one has to free oneself from these disturbances caused by these emotions. Which means one should be able to manage these emotions. Therefore, if you have focused attention on your duties and compulsory duties, and you also focus attention, understand importance of naimittikam karma, and your attention is paid totally to that karma, then naturally you are managing them. You don't give, that is why we say lazy, idle man's mind is a devil's workshop means. Why do they say that? Devil comes and works, you give time for devil. You don't give time for devil when if you are busy with your own, if you engage yourself in your not in wrong actions but in compulsory duties, actions, and your own naimittikam karma. Nitya karmas and naimittikam karmas are karmas which have to be performed. And which also implies what? Performance of nitya karma, naimittika karma implies what? Without, when you avoid the prohibited actions, means all your actions are in conformity with dharma. Why? You are performing only nitya karma, performing only naimittikam karma, you avoided kamya karma and nishiddha karma. Therefore, nishiddha karmas are avoided means your actions are in conformity with dharma. But that's a very important thing, okay? I'm doing nitya karma, naimittikam karma. I'm also not able to give up Pratniti Nishiddha Karma means no Sattva Shuddhihi. Understand? Sattva Shuddhihi, the mental purity is possible only when you are performing Nitya Karma, Naimittika Karma, carefully avoid, consciously, prudently avoiding the prohibited actions. Is it clear? Well, he says, Nitya Adinam means Nitya Karmanaha, Naimittika Karmanaha, okay? When you, as a result of performing compulsory duties and nityam, naimittikam karmas, excluding prohibited actions, then the benefit you get, the main benefit you get is what? Main benefit is mental purity. Relatively disturbance-free mind. Relatively disturbance-free mind means relatively pure mind, which is free from, relatively free from the impurities such as likes and dislikes. I'm not saying you're completely, you become free from raga, likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes must be there. Desire, you know, likes and dislikes will be there definitely. But you will be able to manage those. Now, the capacity to manage the likes and dislikes, the emotions itself is what? Chitta Shuddhihi. Relatively, you are free. Okay? So, Chitta Shuddhihi is the benefit of performance of Nitya Naimittikam Karma. The next, Upasananam tu Chitta Ekagriyam. What is the benefit of practicing meditations? Why meditations, he says? The objects of meditations are many. The objects representing Sagunam Brahma are many, many, many. Therefore, he says what? Meditations. Isn't it? Therefore, upasananam, practice of different types of meditations, will result in Chitta Ekagriyam. Chitta Aikagriyam, he says. Chitta Aikagriyam. Aikagriyam means single pointedness of the mind. We can say the mental steadiness. The attention of the mind is, you know, really jumping to so many things, there is no aikagriyam. There is no focused. This is a focused attention. So the capacity to remain focused on a given object for a length of time. See, you practice meditation, you want to focus attention on a given object for a length of time, but the mind doesn't sit there. It jumps all over initially. That is why when you know repeatedly practice meditation, as the mind goes, you bring it back and bring it back, bring your attention back, and you practice it. In the long run, what happens? Once you are able to be focused, the capacity to remain focused for a length of time is called Chitta Aikagriyam, or is called mental steadiness, a single pointedness. It's called Aikagriyam. Ekam means one. Ekam agre, is it? Only one thing alone. Your focus is on only one thing, not on so many things. The Chitta Aikagriyam, mental steadiness, means mental, the single pointedness of the mind, you can achieve by practicing meditation. So these two are very important. What is mental purity and mental steadiness? Antah, in Bhagavad Gita class, in Swamiji's word, we have read so many times Gita Home Study books, Antahkarna Shuddhihi, Antahkarna Naischalyam. Antahkarna Shuddhihi, Antahkarna Naischalyam. We read it so many times, haven't we? Therefore, mental purity and mental steadiness. How do we get? by performing nitya naimittika karma, excluding nishiddha kamya karma, we get chitta shuddhihi. By practicing meditation, we become mentally steady and focused. You can say now, chitta aikagriyam is the benefit. You can learn a Sanskrit term now, isn't it? Now you can read it now. Nityadinam buddhi shuddhihi param prayojanam. Param prayojanam is our main primary benefit. Upasananam tu chitta aikagriyam. Chittaikagriyam. Okay, mental steadiness. Now, there is a sentence he quotes from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which you don't need to memorize, okay? Why, you can ask, why this author is quoting a sentence statement from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad? Because he wants to say, I am not saying this. If you perform compulsory duties, your own duties properly, regularly, if you avoid prohibited actions, if you avoid kamya karmas, if you perform nitya karma and naimittika karma, definitely you get mental purity. Which means mind management. You have the capacity to manage your thoughts. Mental purity, I can put otherwise, the capacity to manage your thoughts. You'll be able to have, isn't it? That I'm not saying this as just simply, just to attract you for this, but it is the Upanishadic statement. The scriptural, the fact revealed by the Upanishad. So to prove, to support what he is teaching here, what he is saying, it is not my teaching, it is not my understanding, this is what the Upanishad says. Therefore he quotes Upanishadic statement. Okay? Don't get confused, oh my God, why he is stating all this lot of Sanskrit? Don't take it. He says, from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the fourth chapter, the fourth section, as a 22nd mantra he quotes. Don't need to memorize all those things, just listen. Tam etam atmanam veda anuvachanena vedanuvachanena brahmanaha vividishanti yajnena ityadi shrutehe. See, shrutihi means Veda. Smritihi means a scripture which represents the teaching of the Veda without distorting it. Therefore, Smriti is also highly revered as Shruti. Shrutihi is the original scripture, and Smritihi is a scripture which reproduces the teaching of the Shruti without any distortion. It's called Smritihi. And whenever the authors like him, when they write something, to make their teaching effective, to make the teaching, you know, having authority, authenticity, they also quote from Shruti and Smriti. Quoting from Shruti and Smriti is for, you know, for making the teaching clearer. To say it is not something said loosely, carelessly, casually, very stated very carefully. Definitely, you have no choice. You have to for knowledge to become qualified, you need to be mentally, you need to become mentally pure. You must have the capacity to manage your thoughts, emotions. Mental purity is important qualification. You must become mentally undisturbed person. You must be very focused person. You can't be highly distracted person of scattered attention. Cannot achieve anything. And where's the question of achieving knowledge? Isn't it? So it's very important for us to be mentally pure and steady. And for that mental purity, what choice do you have? Choicelessly, you have to avoid the prohibited actions. And you have to perform nityam karma, naimittikam karma. If you perform, definitely you will have mental purity. And then he quotes from that. He says, even the desire for knowledge of the truth, even for a person to have the desire for the knowledge of the truth, even to discover the moksha being the ultimate end, people can continue to live as naive, innocent, ignorant people. One can continue to be ignorant of one's ignorance. Isn't it? They also live, they also get up, they also work, they also dress up, and they also earn, they also enjoy pleasures in life. They also die, finally. They also have everything. One can continue to be ignorant of one's ignorance. One need not come to know of one's ignorance. So becoming aware of ignorance itself is a big step. And thereafter making effort to the desire for knowledge of the truth is another step. Understanding the connection between moksha and knowledge is another step. All this needs, you must be mentally pure to some extent, even to understand these facts. So he says, he says, even vividisha, desire for knowledge, vetum icha, desire for knowledge of the truth also, knowledge of the self also, people discover when, only when they become mentally pure. How? By yajnena, by living a life of worship. By living a life of worship means what? By living a life, performing nityam karma, naimittikam karma, excluding nishiddha kamya karmas. Living a life of worship means what? Performing compulsory duties, performing naimittikam karma, avoiding prohibited and kamya karmas. If we live a life then with proper attitude, that life is a life of worship. Understand? Yajnena. Yajnena vividishanti means only by performing yajna. Here it means, yajna literally means a fire ritual. So yajnena means by performing rituals. By performing rituals means what? By performing worship. By performing worship means what? By living a life of worship. By living worshipful life. Living a worshipful life means what? Living one's life, doing one's duties. Doing what is to be done, avoiding what should be avoided. And a person lives, in due course of time, even they discover what a desire for knowledge of the truth. Is it clear? This said where? In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Then he quotes one Smriti statement. He quoted one statement from Shruti. Now he goes on to another statement now. He says, Tapasa kalmasham hanti. Manusmriti. Tapasa kalmasham hanti. Tapas here means, again, tapasa kalmasham hanti. Again here tapas means righteous life, practice of meditation. So living a righteous life means what again? You cannot live a righteous life without performing actions. Isn't it? Therefore, while living a righteous life implies again performing nitya naimittika karmas, excluding nishiddha kamya karmas. Kalmasham hanti means they destroy their pap sins. Because they become free from sins. They have their sins washed off. This is another statement from Smriti. So the author quotes a statement from Shruti, Veda, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, a statement from Manusmriti to support what he says. Not that he wants support. He says that Upanishad itself says, I am not saying, Upanishad is saying. Smriti is saying. Is it clear? You have learnt what today? The benefits of performing karma and practicing meditation. He is taking very systematically, very beautifully taking. Don't you see that? Okay. Now, having discussed here the main, the param prayojanam, primary benefit of performing karma and practicing meditation, now the author is going to say, what is the avantara palam? What is the secondary benefit we can have by performing karma and practicing meditation? Is it? He's going to say that now. We should know, isn't it? You don't need to make efforts. Here, it's like saying, generally, the example given in the Shastram is always planting a seed for a tree. Okay. If you plant a seed, and then you expect what? If you plant a seed, you expect a tree to grow. Isn't it? Then there's a big tree is going to come. The tree comes. What is the main benefit you expect of the tree? The fruits they bear. Because we want to eat, you know. Eat. The fruits, where we can eat fruits, always there will be fruits available throughout the season. That is the param prayojanam. But you do not expect other results. The main, that is what you expect. Expecting the fruits alone, you really sow seed and you want to have the tree. But once the tree is there, not only you get fruits, you also enjoy some other benefits. You have, first of all, the place looks very beautiful with the tree. And you have shade. In this country, you don't know whether you realize the need for shade or not. In India, we feel the need. Shade is so important, isn't it? We're all there now. In scorching heat everywhere, you look for, search for the trees always. If you want to park the car, we search for the tree shade. To walk, to stand under somewhere, is there any shade somewhere available? We always look for it. Why? Because shade. So, shade is what? No, it's called like avantara phalam. Secondary benefit we get from having a tree. Looks beautiful and a good breeze comes. And sometimes when you walk around, when you go for this walk in these Kelsey parks, I can always say, magnolia flowers, mild fragrance comes, so pleasant. Fragrance comes. And in India, we can also pluck the flowers for malas, which you may not do in this country. Until so many, isn't it? Suppose in India, we also do one more thing. People will go, and the dry twigs fall, we cut for the fuel. Here you may not do it. Yes, you may do it, no? For barbecue, you may need it. I don't know whether you need that. Anyway, so many benefits. You do not think of those benefits first, but later on you enjoy those benefits. Isn't it? It's called avantara phalam, secondary benefits. Like this here also. When you perform Nityam Karma, Naimittikam Karma, you have mental purity, you practice meditation, mental steadiness. But what is the secondary unexpected Avantara Phalam also is there. Isn't it? What is that he is going to say? Nitya Naimittikayoho. Nitya Naimittikayoho. Upasananam tu avantarapalam. Now there is avantarapalam, the secondary benefit you have is, or incidental benefit is, pitruloka Satya Loka Praptihi. You can say Pitru Loka Satya Loka Praptihi. He gives together Pitru Loka Praptihi, Satya Loka Praptihi. The two lokas. One is Pitru Lokaha, higher world. Lokaha means higher world here. In this context, literally the word Lokaha means the world. The world of enjoyment, the world of perception, the world, the perceptible world is called lokaha. So here the word lokaha means what? Higher lokas. Higher lokas means, oh, not only this loka, there are higher lokas. How do we know? Only from the Shruti. We do not know. We do not know even this world properly. Where is the question of not knowing about higher worlds? No, the heaven, we know, we talk about heaven. I don't know how many heavens, the higher lokas, other cultures talk about. But in Veda talks about many higher lokas. Okay, seven above we say. Therefore, one is Pitru Lokaha, it's called world of manes. And other world is Satya Lokaha, na Swarga Lokaha. It's called higher world. Higher lokas. Higher lokas means what? You know, there you can enjoy the heavenly pleasures. Heaven, you know, heavenly pleasures you can enjoy. And to go there, you need a different shariram. Not this gross elemental physical body we cannot carry. But that's the need. That one can go only after the death. After the death, no, then one can, if a person has punyam, punyam means what? The result of actions, isn't it? Result of right actions. A person has, and as a result of, as a punyam, with that punyam one can go to higher lokams. And to earn that punyam required for going to higher lokas, one must have done what? Nitya Naimittika Karma. And one must practice meditation. So he, when you are living in this world, you enjoy, you get what? Mental purity and mental steadiness. That is the main benefit. And result of which you can attain jnanam, here itself you can attain moksha also. Suppose you live a clean life of karma yoga, you perform nityam karma, naimittikam karma, you carefully avoid nishiddham karma and kamya karma. As a result of which you have punyam. You have become mentally pure. But before attaining jnanam, as a pure minded, you die. Okay? Still you will pick up the thread where you left. Don't take waste of life, waste of time. Oh my God, I live a clean life, attain mental purity and steadiness, and I die. And with attaining knowledge, I had to come back again. Again, I had to start from the beginning. No, don't need to worry. You will pick up the thread where you left. This life's effort will not go waste. Okay? You will attain jnanam in this life itself. Attain moksha. You can discover fullness, happiness here itself as your own swarupam. Suppose if we, you know, live a life we become mentally pure and steady. But before we attain the knowledge, our span of life ends and we die also. You have one holiday. You'll come back and continue your pursuit of knowledge happily and you'll be very successful. But in between, you'll have a break, holiday, you'll go to higher lokas. So as a result of the punyam you have accumulated as a result of doing nitya naimittika karmas, you will be qualified to go to pitruloka. Pitruloka. And enjoy the pleasures there. Don't ask me, how would Pitruloka be? Can we try then? You don't need to try. You live nitya karma, naimitya karma, properly keep doing and you will have an opportunity. If you don't attain moksha this janma, you can go, enjoy Pitruloka pleasures, come back, again continue where you left, attain jnanam, that other janma. Is it clear? Therefore, Pitruloka praptihi, attainment of Pitrulokaha, not immediately, but don't think I can go there, come back and talk to my friends about it. That is not possible. We can go only, you accumulate the punyam and wait for the span of life to come to an end. Then you can go to Pitruloka. This is the avantara palam. What is the pradhanam palam? What is paramprayojanam? Tell me. Chitta Shuddhihi, don't forget. We are not really interested in other lokas. So here, why the teacher says this, for a mumukshuhu, for a jignyasuhu, the one for whom moksha is the ultimate goal, one who is very clear about the value of knowledge, isn't it? And moksha, one who knows the greater value of moksha, isn't it? Than the value of going to heaven, enjoying pleasures. He'll be interested only in moksha. For such a person, going to Pitruloka is not a primary benefit. Suppose it's a person who is not interested in moksha, or going for a holiday I'm interested in moksha. I really want to go to higher lokas. I want to see what is there. If that is the primary benefit, and still he has to live a life of dharma. Understand? For him, it is a primary benefit, not the secondary. For a mumukshu, for a jignyasu, for spiritual aspirants, for who were very clear about moksha being the choiceless end, and therefore who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge, who want the knowledge of the truth for moksha, for such people, going to heaven, which is unavoidable, even if you don't want to go also, no choice, Bhagavan would force you to go and enjoy that. Because you've been such a good person the whole life, you lived a life of dharma, you did nitya karma, you did naimittikam karma, you never involved yourself in any prohibited actions. Therefore, definitely you deserve this enjoyment. Bhagavan will help us attain what? Pitruloka. So, Pitruloka prapti, attainment of world of means, is the avantara phalam. Here, the teacher also, the author also, he indirectly hints even the Pitruloka prapti or Swarga prapti, even any greatest heaven you talk about, that is not of, what is of greater value than attainment of lokas is attainment of moksha here now in this world. He hints that. Do you get it? Now, then, suppose not only you perform nitya karma, naimittika karma, avoiding nishiddha karmas, but if you also practiced meditation, whether you were able to practice meditation properly or not, if you made genuine effort for practicing meditation, then definitely you will go to not even Pitruloka, you will go to Satyaloka. Satyaloka praptihi. It is a much higher world. You will have some more subtler pleasures. Isn't it? So what is the difference between them? Don't ask me. Definitely, Hattuloka is much higher world. Pitruloka is a higher world. But Satyaloka is much higher world, which means one must be able to enjoy much greater pleasures. This is only avantara phalam. So, Pitruloka praptihi. Understand now? Nitya naimittika karmas we perform, then we get Pitruloka. We can attain Pitruloka. We can enjoy Pitruloka. If we practice meditation, we can enjoy Satyaloka, heaven. And for which, again, he quotes from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. I tell you, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is a big Upanishad. Anybody can quote from anywhere, one can say it's a Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Because Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is a big Upanishad. For everything, you have quotations. You know, so a person can be authentic. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says this. He quotes again, for this also, there is avantara phalam, definitely there is not, apart from the primary benefit of chitta shuddhi, mental purity and mental steadiness, you know, there is also secondary benefit one can have in terms of attainment of pitrulokaha and satyalokaha. I am not saying, look at this, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, he is quoting, quotation he is giving. Karmana pitrulokaha vidyaya devalokaha. Look at this. It's only one statement he takes and quotes. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. First chapter, 5th section, 16th mantra is given. Ityadi shrutehe. Ityadi shrutehe. What now? Even this statement of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is also reveals this fact that if a person performs karma in conformity with dharma, what karma? Nityam karma, naimittikam karma, avoiding the prohibited actions, then definitely he will go to Pitrulokaha. He will enjoy the Pitruloka stay as long as he has punyam. You have to be very clear, which means stay in Pitruloka, you need temporary visa what he can have, not a permanent visa. And also stay in this Satyaloka also is what? Going to any loka, we have only temporary visa. What about life in this world? Permanent or temporary? Everywhere. Nowhere we can stay permanently. Okay? Here itself where temporary means, and what to talk of the life in higher worlds. But you can have some time, you can have some good time there. Therefore, vidyaya devalokaha. Look at this. I told it already. The word vidya, even though it means knowledge, in many contexts, in many places, the word vidya means meditation. For vidyaya satyalokaha. We practice through the practice of meditation. As a result of meditation, after the death, one can go to satyalokaha, devalokaha, swargalokaha, world of devas. So, world of pitros and world of devas. Satyalokaha, devalokaha mean the same. Okay, he mentions the benefits. Okay. At last, he has finished the discussion on karma. Author finished the discussion on karma. You have to remember, where are we? We are still discussing the adhikari, the first factor of anubandha. Understand? Anubandha chatushtayam. and he discussed the karmas. The discussion karma is over. The five types of karma, and later on the benefits of the karma, the upasanam, everything is over. Now only he is going to talk about what those fourfold qualifications are. See, the teacher is taking it step by step. Okay? If we perform this karma, nityam karma, namittikam karma, if you avoid nishiddham karma and prayaschit kamya karma, as a result of which we can attain mental purity here. After the death, if we do not achieve jnanam, then we can go to pitriloka or satyaloka. You practice meditation, you get antakarna naischalyam here, then later on you can go to satyaloka or devaloka. Otherwise, you can avoid going to lokas with a long span of life. In this life itself, you attain what? Antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naischalyam. In this life itself, you can attain jnanam and moksha also. Therefore, we need not worry at all. We need to do what we need to do. Then definitely we'll attain jnanam and moksha this janma. If not, we'll come back and pick up the thread where we left. We'll definitely attain in next janma. If we do not do this now, we will never be able to do it. Is it clear? And now he's going to say, what are the fourfold qualifications? I briefly discussed earlier, but the author wants to say, he wants to make sure you know it. Therefore, he is going to present what those fourfold qualifications are. See, Vedanta Shastra, in Upanishads, when you study Upanishads, Upanishad always begins like this. The teacher gave this wisdom, knowledge to the one who approached as the qualified student. That's all. But what those qualifications are, they're not discussed there elaborately. But of course in Karma Kanda we understand. But how to accomplish those qualifications also, it is not said there. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes it very clear. For knowledge, you need to be qualified. And for how to become qualified also, what those qualifications are, what those qualifications which are required for knowledge, and how to gain those qualifications, how to attain those qualifications also, Krishna teaches. And seer also the teacher mentioned how to become qualified. First he said, now he says what those qualifications are. So we may have to continue in the next class, but still we'll read that. Sadhanani. So sadhanam means. Means of attainment, means of achievement is called sadhanam. And the qualification are the qualification happens to be the indirect means for moksha. Knowledge is the direct means of moksha. In fact, knowledge itself is moksha. But for that knowledge, the qualification serves as a means. Is it therefore? The qualification is said to be the sadhanam. And there are four sadhanani. There are four means, four qualifications. That's why sadhakaha is a seeker. Sadhyam is the sought end. The end to be accomplished. That which is called what? Sadhyam. Sadhakaha is the accomplisher. The one who wants to accomplish. the one who is accomplishing is called sadhakaha. Sadhyam, to be accomplished end. Sadhanam means a means of accomplishment. And here in between what now? In between the sadhakaha, the accomplisher, and the sadhyam, the moksha, in between what we have? Jnanam, knowledge. The freedom from limitations is the sadhyam. And first direct sadhanam is jnanam. But for jnanam, you need another sadhanam. If the jnanam becomes the sadhyam, then what is sadhanam? Qualifications. Is it clear? Eligibility is the mean sadhanam. Isn't it? Clear? He gives in one sentence. In Tattvabodha, it is four different sentences. He gives one long compound sentence. Nitya,
Nitya.
Anitya,
Anitya.
Vastu Viveka,
Viveka.
Nitya Nitya Vastu Viveka, Iha Amutra,
Iha
Mutrartha, Palaboga Viraga, Palaboga Viraga, Shamadi Shatka, Sampati, Shamadi Shatka Sampati, Mukshutvani. He has put as one long sentence. All the fourfold qualifications which serve as means of attainment of knowledge are present in one long compound sentence. So don't worry. Next class when you come back, we'll break this long sentence. Understand every word clearly. Okay? At last, the teacher has brought us to the qualifications. So, we have not yet completed the discussion on Adhikari. So, I'm going to stop here. Just I want to ask you, is there any doubts? Anybody has any doubts here? Yes?
When he describes the karma, he is very specific about Nitya, Nainitika, and these actions are described in the Vedas. So they are described karma kind of Vedas. So, and you explain that as our duties.
Yeah.
However, our duties today are not those from the Vedic times. We don't perform those actions prescribed in the Vedas.
Mm.
Are they also valid for purification of mind, or any action we perform as a duty, even in a secular society as ours?
See, yeah. Finished? Continue.
My question is, the duties, so they are not those duties from the Vedic time. Are they still valid, depending on your attitude only?
Yeah. See, in Vedic period, we talk about karma. In fact, even today, we understand the beauty of the Vedic wisdom is, in the light of Vedic wisdom, if we see, for us, there's nothing which is secular. Every small action you do is sacred. First thing, we never differentiate as secular actions and sacred actions. Which action is secular? Everything is sacred if the ultimate goal is discovering Bhagavan in the form of the truth. Isn't it? Every sneezing is also divine action only. Really, there's no such thing called it. To be, even though we talk about secular actions and sacred actions, etc., religious and mundane, we differentiate as mundane activities, religious activities, sacred actions. For our understanding purpose, we use those terms. Really speaking, in the light of the knowledge, the light of the Vedic teaching, we can see there's nothing which is not sacred here. Every action you do is a sacred action only. Second thing, in the Vedic period we have written rituals, even the way Upasanani prescribed in the Upanishads also, it is difficult for us to practice now. We understand the significance of meditation, understand the significance of the teaching on karma, etc. But now we do perform in this life, in the present situation where you are placed, in keeping with the time, kala, desha, vartamana, in keeping with the time and the place and the need of the hour, you know what your duties are. So performing those duties, that's why you know your duties very clearly well, and do your duties. And in doing your duties means even now prohibited actions you can definitely avoid. Nishiddha karmas, to be avoided not only for those days, Vedic period. Even today, speaking the truth, telling lies, not hurting, not stealing, not robbing, not betraying, isn't it? Etc. are all prohibited means you can even today, the prohibited actions are prohibited forever. In the past, in the present, in future also. Always avoid. And now Nitya Karmani, compulsory duties means, of course you have to earn a livelihood, you have to do some work for that. Now you see that you are not the consumer, you are a contributor also. Because you do something, you earn a livelihood. Now so look out, you know what your duties are. So you do your duties presently, you know your duties and do your duties. Nityam karma. Isn't it? And worship means you need not perform the fire ritual as prescribed in the Veda. Even in India, we don't have the Vaidikas, so many Vaidikas who are performing the rituals, fire rituals regularly. Agnihotra, the karmas. No, not many. Not very many. Not at all. We hardly can see people. There are very few highly, highly, highly traditional Brahmanas who were able to do that. Somewhere we had to locate them actually. Therefore, today, when you say at least regular, that's why Panchamahayagyas, we talk about Panchamahayagyas. You know, at least daily worship, have the habit of worshipping daily. And we talked about, the Deva Yajnaha, Pitru Yajnaha, Nitya Karma and Amiti Karma are covered there. Pitru Yajna, Manishya Yajna, Bhuta Yajna. We discussed about. Therefore, if you avoid the prohibited actions, and if you do your present day duties, then in conformity with dharma, isn't it? Avoiding prohibited actions itself implies what? All that you do are your compulsory duties which are in conformity with dharma. A different way of putting it. When you teach karma yoga, we say you do your duties, do anything in conformity with dharma. We always repeat it. Then we talk about the values. We talk about knowledge of right and wrong. In Bhagavad Gita, we say this. But here, how do we say? Here, you know what are the prohibited actions and avoid them, prohibit them. Nishiddha karma means avoid the karma which have to be avoided. They're not, isn't it? You avoid means the actions are what? The actions devoid of prohibited actions are righteous actions. Isn't it? So you do now, present situation, what your duties are. Do those duties and worshipfully, prayerfully, with the proper attitude. Then it becomes what? It contributes karma yoga. It contributes for antakarna shuddhi. See how karma yoga itself is presented in the teaching like this. Other way of understanding karma yoga. So Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, karma yoga means this is what he teaches in a different, using different words. Ishwarpana buddhihi, prasada buddhihi, viveka buddhihi. Viveka buddhihi means discriminative knowledge of right and wrong. Isn't it? Then use that buddhi, then do the right, avoid the wrong. Which means nishiddham karma is emphasized. Do the right means then nityam karma. There again, naimittikam karma. All these other, what we need to be done as a pitru yagya, bhuta yagya, manushya yagya, etc. So all these are put differently and then it is taught. You understand here? That is why it's very important for you to see how in Vedantic texts the teaching is given, how the same teaching is given in the Bhagavad Gita. So there need not be any conflict about, oh my God, we are not performing the Veda, the rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda. Who knows? Don't worry about it. But you have to understand the spirit behind the teaching. We can't really early in the morning get up and then kindle the fire and then chant mantras and offer oblations and perform worship wearing dhoti. It's cold weather. Very nice to have fire ritual because it's like having fire, isn't it? Campfire like. That is not here. It's not the fun. Therefore, it is not performance of fire rituals are not compulsory because we are not living in the Vedic period. So, see, know your duties and do your duties wherever you are. So, the worshipful, you can be worshipful, isn't it? One can be worshipful. You are worshipful, you are prayerful. If you understand the Ishvara and then bring Dharma into your life, if you follow the live life of Dharma, bring Ishvara in your life, it's a yoga. Is it? Is it clear? Answered your question? Okay. How many of you were frightened of Sanskritam today? It's okay, we'll take care of it. How many of you felt really bored with too much of Sanskrit today? Nobody. Not bored, but really. How many of you think that way? It's okay. I'm very happy. See, keep coming and keep listening. Be in the class. Be with the teaching. And that is the teaching will take care of your clarity. Okay? Something will happen slowly. But be patient. Because it's Lord, it takes a time. Because you have to get used to listening. Even what is listening itself, to understand the very meaning of the word listening takes time. I know exactly what it means. As a young girl, when I used to go to Swamiji, and I used to go sit in front of him, and I used to talk, to him like this. And he's keep listening. And he'd come and say, Pachinder, Kwadan Kurtinder. He used to say this, listen, keep on listening, keep listening, keep listening. Keep listening, he says. You know, then I realized what a great fact it is, truth it is in what he says. Because continuous, repeated listening, systematically, regularly, really slowly makes your gross mind subtle. And the subtler, the more you listen, subtler the mind becomes, and the more you grasp. And your clarity enhances. Always growing clarity. This is the secret of the Adhyayanam. Adhyayanam means what? Studying. Adhyayanam, not chanting here. I mean, that is the secret of the study. Listening, Shravanam. Shravanam means in continuous listening, there's a growing clarity. That is the beauty and that is the joy. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.